Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you back. Today is Thursday, the 27th of July, 2017. And we pray all is well with you and your family. We're praying for the husbands, the fathers, and the sons, that you'll continue to be led by God in your pursuit to be able to serve Him, serve your family, serve your community, and take our place as leaders in the homes and in the churches and in the community. Amen. And tonight we have a guest, Pastor Thomas Bracken, and he's an assistant pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Alexandria, Virginia. And we're going to talk about young people, young adults, and young folk. Those specifically a group of what we call the millennials, and about their involvement, why they're leaving the church, why they may be discouraged about the gospel, and the things that they're struggling with. So we're going to share some of his insights and wisdom and hopefully be able to encourage them. Amen. But we're going to start with scripture and prayer, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. We have a couple of announcements, some upcoming events here locally. You can always reach us at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook, also on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can follow us there. Check our postings there. We always share information about upcoming men's events, opportunities for fellowship, gathering, and other men-related issues. And we share devotionals there also. Amen. But tonight I'm going to be reading, I'm going to read something from the devotional, and also then we're going to go to a scripture. Scripture is going to be Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. But the devotional I was reading, it was about praying for the names of God. And one of the names of God is loving kindness. His love never gives up on us. He is love, so enduring and unbreakable, so relentless that it leaves you with utter wonder. If we understand who God is when God says He is loving kindness, that no matter what we've done, no matter what we do, no matter what we struggle with, even in our times of disobedience, He still has a loving kindness to bring us back, to reconcile us. And He loves us in the midst of our mistakes, in the midst of our trials and testing. Amen. I'm reading from Isaiah 54, verse 10. For the mountains may depart and the hills disappear, but my kindness shall not leave you. My promise of peace for you will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy upon you. Father God, we say thank you. We say thank you for your loving kindness, God, for your steadfastness, for your patience with us, oh God, for your undying love, your unbreakable, the love that nothing we can do to separate us from your love, oh God. So, Father, we just say thank you today, God. We thank you, God, for seeing us, oh God, in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our disappointment, oh God, that you, oh God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us as believers in Christ, we are able to maintain and sustain, even though the things that we struggle with every day. Father, I pray today for the husbands, fathers, and sons, Lord God. And, Father, tonight I just want to be a special prayer, God, for mothers, oh God, who are continuing to have for their sons, oh God, who may be in the midst of a struggle. But yet we know that you, God, can change it, turn their lives around, change their hearts, oh God. And even in the midst of this situation, God, you are there with them because of your loving kindness. Continue to bless us, continue to watch over us, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, tonight we have a couple of announcements before we get into our conversation. Always here, and it's just Christian Men's Talk. We support the pantry at the Winning Souls Evangelistic Church, Helping Hands Food Pantry. They're open every second and fourth Saturday of the month from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. They're located here locally in Pasadena, Maryland at 2322 Mountain Road, Pasadena, Maryland. The church phone number is 410-437-0137. And even if you do not live in the Pasadena, Maryland area, but you're here in the Maryland, Baltimore, D.C. area, you can call the church. There's a network of food pantries. If you know someone in need, or if you are in need and you don't particularly live in Pasadena or don't have transportation, call the church and they'll give you, they'll be able to find a pantry in your zip code or in your community. Because it's a network of state, county run pantries. So there's some there because some folks struggle with food, have to pay bills, and then they have to sacrifice the food. And no one in America should have to go without a meal at any time whatsoever. They have meat, they have canned goods, they have dry goods, It's like going, trust me, it's like going to the supermarket. Amen. Amen. So we definitely recommend them. That's the Helping Hands Food Pantry. And the phone number, once again, is 410-437-0137. Amen. Amen. Well, coming up in the month of August, we have a couple of events coming up here. We have the Mount Zion Baptist Church of Baltimore, Maryland. Their marriage ministry presents Marital Love Language, Speaking Your Spouse's Love Language. That's going to be on Saturday, the 5th of August, Saturday, August the 5th, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And the Mount Zion Baptist Church is located at 2000 East Belvedere Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland. The church phone number is 410-426-2309. You can give them a call. It's going to be facilitated by Derek and Purcell, Derek and Maria Purcell. They're the marriage ministry leaders there. This is a free event. This is a free event for couples, engaged couples, couples who, you know, if you get ready and take that next step. Is an opportunity to know what it takes to keep a marriage going way past the wedding ceremony. Because, again, we hear at Issues Christian Men Talk, we always say, wedding day has nothing to do with the rest of your marriage. There's wedding day, and then there's your marriage. Two separate occasions, two separate types of preparedness. Because we're going to get dresses and tuxes and shoes and make sure we got black socks on and all that stuff. But after that comes the marriage. Amen? So, again, we encourage you for that. That's on Saturday, August the 5th, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, 2 hours, tune up your marriage, detail your marriage, anything you want to do, workout, training camp, whatever you need to work, make your marriage better moving forward. For registration, so we can get a head count, we know how many couples are coming, this is 443-386-8876. You also can go to our Facebook page, the Issues Christian Men's Talk. The flyer is posted there. The link is there. And if you didn't have a pen and paper with you, you join in and register for that. Our next event, we are something we're becoming part of here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, is a Young Writers Challenge. This is a program they put together. Talking to the Sister Pat Patricia Harris. And what she does there, she brings a group of young people together and teach them how to be writers. They published a book this year. The program ran from January to June. And this August, August the 11th, they're having their graduation gala and awards ceremony. And they have a book they have written and has been published. And these young writers are going to celebrate them. Youth Writers Rock on Friday, August the 11th, 2017. It's going to be held at the Quality Inn in Baltimore, Maryland. You can contact Sister Harris at 443-421-2071. Tickets are $25, and they come out to celebrate the young people. And these young people, I mean, I found out about her through someone and what she was doing. And this is from ages of middle school, from 12 to 17. So we encourage you to support them. And also, if you have children in that age or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, and they are writers, they write poetry, they like to write small, short stories, programs you definitely get involved with. And so you're going to be on the program in the next coming weeks, so look out for that. And you can ask her questions and learn more about it. Amen? Amen. Amen. And one more announcement for my brothers out there to listen. Man Up is back. Man Up is back. Our one-day conference, we have plans. We are closer, getting closer and closer to the details. We have a planning meeting at the end of next month. And we're looking at the last weekend in October for the coming together. So stand by for the details as they get locked in and our churches get locked in. And then my brothers listening out there, your men's ministry, get your men's leader, get your pastor, let them know. If you've been, tell somebody. If you're an alumni of our conferences, our gathering, we encourage you to bring one brother with you who has not been. Amen. We're going to talk about a lot of things. We're working on topics and subjects, so we'll be encouraged for that. So join us and be part. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm Deacon Fong. We're back. We had a technical problem there. Hold on. Thank you for holding on that panicking. gave you a little bit of shortness season to keep you in, keep you occupied. But we're back here live. Amen. Amen. Pastor Thomas, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for holding on. We had a little glitch there. And I lost that. We lost it. But we're back and we're live, so we're going straight in. Well, first, Pastor, could you introduce yourself to the audience? Tell them who you are and about your ministry.
Certainly. Again, my name is Reverend Thomas Brett King, Jr. I serve as assistant to the pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church, also serve as the current young adult director, and also work with the youth ministry there at the church. And I'm also the founder of the Keep It Real Fridays movement, which is a youth and young adult ministry that I started a little bit over about 11 years ago now, where basically we do untraditional ministry for youth and young adults throughout the D.C. metropolitan area, pretty much centered around a youth and young adult service. Where basically, like I said, it's not your traditional church service. We incorporate spoken word, gospel rap, gospel go-go, all genres of gospel music, step, mime, dance, just giving the young people an opportunity to express their relationship in Christ in their own way, and just giving them a platform to do so that may be untraditional to most methods of church.
Amen, Pastor. You could be pretty, you could say it for old folk. Anybody over 40 years old, this ain't for you. I'm gonna help you out there, Pastor. We're talking about our young people. If you're under 35, this is what we're talking about, okay? So that 35 to 40, that could be a gray area, but if you're definitely over 40, you know, it's gonna be different for you. But everybody under 35, this is what we're talking about. Amen. So you're telling me y'all don't do no hymnals, y'all not singing any hymnals. Is that what you're saying?
Actually, you know what? I don't want to say that. We may do hymns,
okay,
but it may be sung by a young adult choir or praise team and just in a contemporary way. So, you know, I think sometimes, even though I say ministry is done very untraditional, we don't forget where our tradition and our foundation comes from. I was one of those young adults. I'm actually 37, but I feel like I'm in between. And I feel like I'm in between the generation before me and the generation after me. And I grew up on hymns, and I grew up on Blessed Assurance. I grew up on things of that nature, and I still love that stuff. But it doesn't mean that we won't incorporate those type of things like hymns, but it's just done a different way.
Amen, Pastor. That was good, brother. I like that. I helped you there because people, you know. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're talking. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, tonight we're talking about the millennials and they're leaving the church and departing from. And let me. I want to say this. It when we talk about leaving the church, it's not about their salvation, but it's about their being part of an organized church body, and some of the things that happen, or some of the things that the church is not. You know, sometimes we do things and we're not ministering to the needs of folk, and we're not speaking to them in a way that's going to engage them, let them know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant to what's going on. The Bible is not a book of old stories and history and not relevant, but those teachings, those disciplines, those things are relevant no matter what the generation is. But sometimes when we try to communicate and we struggle. Let me ask you this, Pastor. What are some of the taboo subjects that are important for this age group that the church, we should be able to address and give direction and guidance in when we're talking to this generation? What do you say, sir?
I'd say one of the main subjects or main two subjects are relationships and sex. And a lot of that is because we live in a very sexualized generation, sexualized society. At this point in life, you can turn on and on TV or even on the radio, and you can hear a McDonald's commercial, and just something as simple as a McDonald's commercial has become maybe very subtle and sexual innuendo, or, you know, just and not necessarily McDonald's, but just anything that's advertised now. You know, we've just been, it's been thrown at us in society. And so they're hit with that left and right, and, you know, and now the way technology has been set up, like, you know, whereas maybe 10 to 15 years ago, it was difficult for a young person to get access to pornography or get access to sites dealing with sex online. You know, maybe back in the day, you know, you were going to get maybe 50 million pop-ups on your computer or a virus on your computer and your computer shut down. But now it's just instant access. You know, they are able to not just find it on the internet, but they can just produce it themselves through their own phones or tablets. They can instant, you know, just have instant video chats, or they can send pictures, you know, in a matter of seconds. They're exposed and overwhelmed and consumed with sexuality, and they are finding so many different ways to explore that. And so it's very important that we talk about the subject in the church. And a lot of times we have gotten afraid to talk about sex. I'm not sure for whatever reason, but it has become even like sex is a cuss word in the church, in a sense. And it seems like when we say the word sex, it seems like everybody starts to cringe or get quiet. But these are the things that our young people are dealing with every day. And if we're not talking to them about it, they're going to explore and find out about it. As we see, young people are having babies even younger than they were 10 years ago. We're seeing 13, 14-year-old girls getting pregnant, having kids. We're seeing grandmothers that are the age 28, 30 years old now, you know. So we're just living in a different society, and we don't talk about sex, you know. And doesn't matter. I mean, we need to start to have that conversation early, you know, because these kids are so exposed to it, even in preschool, even in elementary school. You know, we have to be able to address these subjects and not get so uncomfortable talking about it.
Amen, sir. And, you know, one of the things, too, when you were talking about that, when we talk about the church, for us as a generation of fathers and grandfathers, you know, what do we teach them at home? If we at our homes and don't see what's going on in the culture, and all of a sudden, if it comes to the point where we actually leave it to youth pastors and pastors, and then when our children, again, I mean, I see what the some of the problems is when we talk about these things. Are these discussions being made at home, and is the church reinforcing what's being taught at home? Because there's two sides of it. Because if we're raising our children and the sexuality, if we don't see what can grow on and what can happen, and be knowledgeable. If you have children, minor children, I pray for you. And I hope this will stir someone to tell someone they know, or our grandchildren, or our nieces and nephews. Our parents, you have to be on point. It can't be all about getting ahead, making money, going out, getting stuff, buying the phones. I mean, you mentioned it with young 14-year-old girls. You talk about kids in elementary school got cell phones. They don't have a problem with that, but then they don't see the consequences of exposing them to it. So I always encourage the fathers. It should start with you. And here, this was Christian Talk. I hope we're stirring the father up right now to think about it. Because, you know, we have young men with brothers listening, newlywed men with, you know, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds. Coming down the road in the next 10 years, when your 3-year-old, that 2-year-old, as cute as they are and as wonderful as they are, they're going to be teenagers. And what are you preparing them for what's coming down the road in the culture? You know, and again, these are the things that they you know, if the church is the only one doing it, that's why I think it's a struggle. It becomes taboo because some of us have backgrounds that are shady. I'll use that word when it comes to sexuality. And we get uncomfortable if our teenagers pull us up and ask us what we were doing when we was 14 or 15. I'm just saying. But. And let that marinate right there. But again, if we're raising our children and we love them, and even in the church, if the parents are in that circumstance, we have to be able to start the conversation somewhere. You know, even in the teaching, the Bible speaks about being fruitful and multiply. And what is the book of Matthew? We got all those begots. All those begots is at least one sexual act per generation. I'm just saying. If you look at a begot, that's at least one sexual act. You start there. That's all I'm saying. Amen?
Okay.
But let me ask you this, sir. Are we talking about the, also, I'm going to stay on the sexual thing for one more minute here, because we hear a lot in the culture talking about abstinence teachings in school, in the public school system, and some people are against it, and some people don't believe it works. But what do you say about what abstinence teaching, and also, because abstinence is one thing, but then it's on the moral side, because it's one of the things we talk about a lot is that, you know, what is moral and what is biblical morality and cultural morality? What do you say, sir?
That's always a very sensitive subject and topic, and it's one of the subjects you can argue back and forth for days, but I think when it comes to morality, biblically, and I believe that each household, especially if you're raising your children under the admonition of the Lord and just raising them under the standards of the word that you going back to what you said a few moments ago, what are you talking about at home? And then we have to understand and also teach our children the differences of biblical morality in our house and how it compares to that in the school system. And although the school system may, and some other organizations and some other areas in society may teach us, okay, well, if you're going to have sex, make sure that you have protected sex, you know, or you may find schools or colleges or other organizations that actually pass out condoms that are actually trying to, you know, prevent more teenage pregnancy, or they're trying to prevent some sexually transmitted diseases. And I don't, I'm not one of those guys that are going to be like, oh, that's just, you know, absolutely horrible. But It's the church's responsibility, because I feel like that's society doing their job. But I think it's the church's responsibility alongside with that to teach holiness. I'm not going to put down another organization from teaching someone to protect themselves, but it's still my responsibility not to say, okay, it doesn't stop there. Let me teach that holiness is okay. Let me teach that holiness is acceptable and that it can be embraced. And I think sometimes we get in these arguments, well, we shouldn't do this or they shouldn't do that. But at the same time, I have to respect for fulfilling their responsibility, but I also got to do mine too. And I'd rather them take those steps and make sure I reinforce holiness than we not have the conversation at all.
Amen, sir. Amen. I appreciate that wisdom, because you're right. They are doing what they believe and they're following through. And all we have to do as the church, as the body of Christ, as the body of believers, is follow through and like you say, promote holiness, promote virginity. And even in, I believe, even talking to young people, those who've already lost their virginity or crossed that line sexually, how to bring them back and reconcile them, let them know that just because you had a lifestyle, you can always come back from it. Because it's the same thing when we minister to adults. There's a certain time in your life when you have to, you know, you have to get your sexual desires and things under control, under the power of God and obedience to Christ. And I think it's the same thing. But yeah, I thank you for that, because that's one of the things we can't. Because I've been in church a while. I'm around church folk, and there's a young youth teenager who's going to pop up pregnant. Yeah, I haven't, you know, it is somewhere in somebody's church. I'm not calling anybody out. I don't want to say that, because there's a struggle. But it's going to happen. But then we ask ourselves, have we done all we could? Because it comes down to choice. That's one of the things we all have is choice and choose to be obedient to what we've been taught and what we've been under and then living out how we believe. But have we done all we can do? Amen? So I'll leave that there, because I don't want to spend the whole time just talking about that. So what are the other taboos, sir, that in your experience in teaching you, what are some of the other subjects that we could touch upon that sometimes the church shies away from? What do you say, sir?
There's so many. I think this generation likes to, they want to know how the Bible is relevant to stuff that they deal with on an everyday basis. And it's not, I think sometimes the Gen Xers, the baby boomers, the builder generations, I think sometimes they don't think that the younger generation have appreciation for the Bible stories, but they want to know how it applies to them on a daily basis. So, you know, we're having young people or young adults asking, you know, biblical views on tattoos or biblical views on drinking or biblical views on smoking marijuana, especially now in our society, just going back to that whole morality issue, you know, where now marijuana is being legalized. And so, you know, you're having young people coming back and say, hey, the world is saying it's okay. Why is the church saying that it's not? And I think what happens is that we have kind of set ourselves on what I would call just believe what I say theology. And because I've been saying it for years and been saying it for years without explanation, and if anybody just really knows this millennial generation, this millennial generation is a generation where they're looking for answers. They're just not like, just because you tell me I'm going to do it, or just because you tell me doesn't mean I'm going to believe it. Like, why should I believe it? And so I think it's important for us that we have to become very biblically sound. And sometimes that may force us, Deacon Farr, that may force us to say, you know what, I don't have the answer for you right now, but let's go back and do some research. Let me do my research, or let's do our research together and let's have this conversation about it. And so, and I think when you approach the millennials in that aspect, they respect you more because you're not trying to automatically have the right answer. You're just not saying, hey, just believe what I say. This is what we've been saying for years. Believe what I say. Because this generation is looking for biblical accurateness. They want to know that what you say lines up with the word, and not just because of a tradition or not just because this is what, you know, my mom said or my grandmother said. And so, you know, just, again, drinking, smoking, sexuality, tattoos. Also, this generation is very concerned about social justice. How is the church addressing social justice? This generation cares very much so about missional opportunities, whether it's local, national, or international. One of the things that I find that millennials rally to support people in need. So they want to see how the church is addressing those things. Are we just coming here Sunday after Sunday? Are we really helping the lost? Are we really serving the lost? So I think those are a lot of things that the millennial generation are looking to talk about, looking to address. And we have to start to kind of get engaged with those type of activities. Even if we don't know necessarily all the answers, but we need to start to get engaged with them.
Amen, sir. You know, it's funny you say that. That's one of the things, you know, you're right. Because a lot of that, I think let me say this. I think what we need to do as husbands and fathers, as men in the church, and as leaders, is we have to get back to discipleship. We have to get back to really, because with the things you were saying, I see it as, are we discipling people in the ways of God and the understanding that we're making the word of God relevant? Like you said, as children, we can tell them the story of the ark and the rainbow. We can tell them the story of Adam and Eve and the apple and Moses and the Red Sea. And those are still, we tell them that stories as children. But at a certain age, we have to be able to dive into the word of God, bring out the biblical principles and the teachings and the command and what Jesus said and what Paul wrote. You know, one of the things I always, even in our men's gathering, if we look at the letters that Paul wrote to churches that were jacked up. He was trying to correct them. You know, for those who are my biblical knowledgeable people out there, Paul went out and planted churches amongst pagans and cultures, and pagan cultures and cultures that didn't have a Jewish background. And then he wrote letters to them to correct the stuff they started doing wrong. And if we read through Paul's letters, he addresses a lot of the stuff that, like you were mentioning. And I do believe the solution is, especially for the millennium, what I'm hearing you say, is we have to start discipling them and answering those questions. Because Paul wrote about that specifically, about answering the questions as people searched out the scriptures and all they had was the Old Testament. And make those moral choices. I know we call it holiness. Some folk call it morality. But whatever it is, it's a better way of living than what the culture is doing. Because we know what the culture is bringing forth. We know what it advertises because they do a very good job at it. But us, when we're talking to this generation of folk, even when we have them, when they come into our churches and cross our thresholds, are we discipling them in the things of God and in the Word of God? And I like what you said, you know, if there's a question, prepare to answer the question or even take them through. That's what discipleship used to be. Well, I'm not going to say that because I know churches and pastors who do it. But for those of you, you know, you go to a service or you go to a Bible study and you can't remember what was talked about. You may have shouted, you may have whatever, but then when it was time, there's a time for teaching and teaching for understanding and answering questions. So we'll leave it there because that's where I think our millennials, like you said, they think differently. And that tradition, because I said so stuff. Anybody with kids knows I said so is only going to go so far. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And to share about the mission thing, that is something that's good because we need it. Because, again, for some of us, when I say this, I say it like this. Some of us are come from different socioeconomical backgrounds and live in different social and economical levels. And we don't realize that there's people today that are struggling. And unless we go to help them and do some things, you know, I was part of a mission trip this last summer, just short personal, that we went and we repaired roofs and painted houses for folks. And then the thing that stood out to me, these were senior citizens and people of a socioeconomic class who needed help because they could never afford to get their houses fixed and get a new roof. But I was part of a mission serve group that went on and done that, and that's where, and there was a lot of young people. It was a youth thing. I was just one of the adults there. But it was to show people that there's people out here we can help hands-on. It's not about always preaching the gospel, but it's about doing and helping someone who's in need who couldn't do for themselves. And that's what the body of Christ, and that's what also what Christ and Paul taught. And we have to get our young, and that's a way to get our young people engaged because to sit them, you know, have them in the pews week after week after week and never go out. And then everybody look like they doing good. They don't know there's people out there suffering every day. Amen? Amen. Hello. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. I'm here with Pastor Thomas, he's the assistant pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church and director of the pastor of youth and young adults there. And real quick, Roland, what's it called? Your Friday events?
Keep it real Friday.
Yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. I don't have my notes in front of me because my page is locked up. But again, tell us about Keep It Real Fridays. Where are you at and what time? Is it every first Friday or when is it?
It's typically every other month right now at Ebenezer Baptist Church, and then and we typically do it the Friday night before our second Sundays, which is our youth Sundays, which typically they kind of alternate and fall sometimes on first Fridays or second Fridays. But also, I mean, we do that every other month, but we have other churches that call and ask to host the event. So we've done it at several different churches throughout the D.C. area over the 11 years. We've been doing Keep It Real Fridays. Just been thankful that many churches have opened their doors and want to do ministry in a different way. And so we continue to do partnerships. And as of recent, one of our last partnerships was with Evangel Assembly of God, Church of God in Temple Hills, and I know we'll be restarting that partnership back up with them possibly every other month. So typically to just find out what we're doing, people can always follow us on our website, keepitrealfridays.com. or also on social media at KIR Fridays for Keep It Real Fridays, and that's on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. But Keep It Real Fridays, like I said, it's been going on for 11 years. We do this again. We have young people, different groups, different churches come out, and we just allow them to minister in their own way. We try to incorporate some games and fun in it. It's very non-traditional. Sometimes we may have preaching. Sometimes we may not. Sometimes we may have rap sessions. Sometimes it just may be just a pure worship experience. So sometimes, you know, we just have different groups like gospel rappers, gospel go-go artists to come out and just minister in their own way. So you may find a little bit of anything that happens at Keep It Real Fridays. Definitely ministry goes forth. Young people are, you know, we've seen many young people get saved over the years. Young people want to get involved in ministry in their churches in a different way. And a lot of people have come and say, wow, like, I didn't know you can express God in that way. Like, I didn't know you can express God through poetry, or I didn't know you could do it through rap. And sometimes you assume people know that you can do it differently, but until you show young people, until you show young adults, then they're like, wow, like, this is awesome. This is different. You know, when can I come back? So that's just what we've been doing, and we've had the support from my church home, Ebenezer Baptist Church. Shout out to my pastor, Pastor Albert P. Jackson, who just continues to push me and the vision that I have with this, and just other pastors throughout the D.C. area that just opened their doors for us.
Amen, sir. You know, I pray for you because I love that, you know, church is a networking. And churches are thinking outside the box and getting outside the four walls and that connection and networking. Because, again, you know, Christ was the original networker. The world's picked it up. The companies, corporations, small business, they all do it. But the body of Christ, it started with us. So we have to start to get back to that place where we're, you know, we're crossing denominational lines. If it's Christ and if it's Christ alone, then we can connect. You know, our doctrine, how we dress, what we wear, shouldn't keep us from connecting and reaching. Because we were called to reach this generation. We're called to be salt and light. And if we have a separation and we have isms and schisms and don't talk to this one and that one for whatever reason, the world, the unbeliever is seeing that and wonder, well, what gang do I need to join to make sure I'm right with God when we argue over the small things? That's just my little two cents. So, but I do commend you, bro, and what you're doing there. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, it's just Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can always go to our website at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the rebroadcast archive of this show and all our past shows. We've been on now for almost coming up on 3 years. We have a big celebration coming up for that, but you can go there and listen to the archive of all our past shows. You can always call in at 646-668-2636. We'd love to have you come and share your wisdom, ideas, ask a question, and be part of the conversation. If you press 1 on your keypad, we'll see you on the switchboard. We can bring you in and let you ask a question. You just ask that your background noise be at a minimum and make sure you're not on your Bluetooth so we don't get an echo. And we'd love to have you join us. Amen? Amen. So, Pastor, let me ask you this. I've got a couple people, but I want to ask you one more question before I go to take a phone call. And I know there's a lot of reasons because we have grown folk who leave the church, but I want to focus in on these millenniums. What are some of the reasons you hear that, again, I want to say this in a way that we understand, that folk are leaving the church, the body of the church, not leaving their salvation or turning away from God or denying Christ, but they stop attending the gatherings. They stop coming and fellowshipping with the saints. What are some of the things you hear on why young people, just this age group, we're talking about the millennials, why they're leaving the church? What do you say, sir?
Wow, it's sad because I probably could give you a long list. But just a few things are the way they dress. You know, the older generation is a lot more focused on, you know, you know, you got to come dressed up, you know, suit and tie. You know, some of young people like to come in casual, and sometimes they may be put down by the way they dress. I have had young adults and young people at various churches I've been at say that, you know, maybe they haven't been to church in a while, and, you know, somebody may approach them like, where you been at, or I heard you were shacking, or, you know, just kind of approach them not in a very loving manner, not in a welcoming manner, you know, just kind of ostracize them, and, you know, and maybe not necessarily personal attacks, but sometimes the millennials are they're not as patient as we are in a sense. They like to see action done. They like to, you know, they don't want to have 20 meetings about planning an event, you know, a year away, and, you know, they want to kind of get stuff going and get stuff done, because this millennial generation, they can get movements done in a matter of days. And sometimes generations in the church, you know, we feel like we got to have a meeting once a month, you know, or twice a month, and we're planning, and we can't make a decision on things. And a lot of times, often in many of our churches, we end up having these meetings, but we end up doing things the same way we did it last year, and the same way we did it the year before, and the year before that. And our millennials are like, our young adults are like, well, we're going to just keep doing it the same way. Why are we meeting? You know, why are we even spending this time, you know, when they can get stuff done in a matter of 48 to 72 hours? A lot of them see hypocrisy in the church. And when I say hypocrisy, you know, leaders saying that this is the way that they're supposed to live, but they're not representing the words that they're saying out their mouths. They see a lot of division in the church, you know. You know, I've had young adults that refuse to come to church meetings, you know, or like church business meetings or the annual church meeting for everybody. And, you know, because they see church members fussing and bickering back and forth with each other, you know, about minor issues. Young adults like, why do I want to come to church when it's full of drama? I thought I was getting away from the world's drama to come here, and then there's even more drama. And so those are maybe a capsule of some of the things, but that are chasing our young adults away. But we just got to find a way to overcome those struggles and be more welcoming and get them more involved. And hopefully we can grab some of them back.
Amen, sir. You know, while you're going down the list, that's some of the reasons I don't want to go to church sometime. Amen. We keep it real. We'll keep it real on Thursday because, as a great, okay. Amen. But I thank you for that, because that's, again, they're watching us. Again, for our generation, for parents, grandparents, elders, deacons, you know, this is what they see. This is what they see. I understand we see the world differently. We were brought up different. We, you know, there was a time, again, we, you know, I put it this way. There's a time and season for everything. Because there was times, you know, back in the old church, the pastor would say something, and that's the way it was. There wasn't no meeting. So we got meetings because we wanted the congregation more involved. And now with having the congregation more involved, everybody has an opinion. And that's how it works. And it turns into that corporate thing, but, you know, however. But again, our young people, you know, the thing about the millennials, I'll say this, and even what you're doing and what other young pastors do, they're the future. And we need them in the body, because even in the midst of those things, they have to be rooted and grounded and know what it means to be a Christian, because they're going to be the salt and light for a generation long after we're gone. So it is important that we engage them, because they're going to be the church of the future. And some of the things you were saying, and the things I'm saying that we're sharing here is it's discipleship, it's engaging them, getting them involved, giving them the answers to their questions. Because if they have questions and we don't prepare them, how are they going to spread the gospel so their generation is going to ask them the questions but we don't want to give them the answers. We can't tell them because that's the way we do it here, or that's the Baptist way, or that's this, because that doesn't mean nothing when it's time for them to go minister to a lost and dying generation who don't have a grandma who is in church. Their parents are not, their father's not a deacon, and their great aunties are not a trustee board. But they're called to spread the gospel to their generation. So we have to give them the answers on where to find the answers so they can speak to a generation. You know, the church doesn't grow by making babies. The church grows by discipling folk, because that's the order Christ gave us. Christ didn't tell us, go out and have a tribe of kids and so they can be Christians. He said, go out to the nations and preach the gospel and fulfill the Great Commission. But we have to prepare this generation to fulfill the Great Commission, because if we're not doing that, then we failed our task as the elders, senior statesmen, deacons, pastors, elders, whatever, all the time. I mentioned everything, evangelists and all of them. We have not done, if this is not a generational thing, like the Bible speaks of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we have failed. And that's one of my passions that I understand when even talking to you and looking at young people. Are we doing what we need to be doing? And all of it is, is this God a generational God or not? And are we willing to humble ourselves to talk to young people so that they can be rooted and grounded? And for some of them, you know, they're going to get it that even in this millennium age, they cannot live on the faith of their grandparents. They can't live on the faith of the pastor because they're coming up with different and newer, different challenges. I won't say more difficult because the enemy uses the same kind of things. However, it's a different challenge, and they have to be able to withstand it. And I still believe, and I believe in my heart, is the Word of God. Are we ministering, teaching the Word of God, giving them their faith rooted on the Word, and then be able to live this thing out? And it's application. It's all application. If some of us look at our lives, at when was the point that we realized we needed God and we came to a point of obedience to God? And now, and then for some of you folk have been in the church over 30, 25 years, When did you leave God and started following denomination? I'll leave that out there. I'm going to let that go. I'm just let that sink in out there. You all right? You with me, Pastor?
Oh, yeah.
Amen, amen. I'm just going to let that sink out there because some of us have drifted way from Scripture, and we'll do or die, AME, do or die. But I'm sorry. I digress. I'm coming back. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and I'm here with Pastor Thomas, Assistant Pastor to Ebenezer Baptist Church and Youth and Young Adult Pastor. Pastor, we have one person on the line. We have a couple people here. Let's see. We have one wanted to come in and ask a question. So let's get ready and see what we can do for them. Praise the Lord. Your last four numbers are 9021. Thank you for joining us. You have a question or comment?
No, I don't. What's going on? I've seen you on Facebook, and I like to listen to things like this. It's real positive.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you. I got you a little bit staticky, but I do appreciate you listening, and thank you for checking us out on Facebook and then deciding to call in. God bless you. I think that was, I think I know that sister. That's a sister in New York. That's one of my sisters from back in the day. Amen. Amen. But I appreciate you. Thank you for calling in. But Pastor, let me come back to you. We got we got about 10 more minutes here, but let me say this to you, Pastor. Let me just ask you this. It's. I know we talked about a lot and we touched on a lot, but I pray that for those who are listening and those who will listen to the show down in the coming days and see the link on Facebook. What are some of the things? I mean, what do you see when you look at it? You said you've been doing the youth thing and the Keep It Real Friday for a couple of years. What are you seeing an impact from young people, because you figure if you knew a youth a couple of years ago and they're 10 years down the road now, I know I don't want you to prophesize, but do you see the church moving and more churches looking for this generation? Because, you know, in 10 years, 15 years, they're going to be called something else. Because it used to be Generation X, it used to be baby boomers, they're going to be called something else. And share this. Well, I think, how important you think it is to be able to be always for the body of Christ to be relevant to this present generation to prepare them. What do you say, sir?
Yeah, I think we have to be prepared to adapt, because now we're entering into, because the millennials, they're Generation Y, but now we're very engaged now in Generation Z, which is considered the I generation. And basically, this is the generation that's just pretty much the all-in technology generation. And they're kind of considered probably around the year 2000. If they were born 2000 and up, that's kind of considered the I generation. But we just got to continue to be relevant. And when I say relevant, it's just not trying to be cool, not just trying to put on the catchy event. But relevance means relationship as well. I got to be able to develop relationship, learn how to listen to young people, listen to where they are. That's being relevant as well. I think sometimes we think if we just put a catchy flyer on Facebook, and, you know, even though I put flyers out for my events, but that's not the base of my ministry, you know. I think we got to get out of just trying to do events and just establish relationships, but also making sure that this generation understands they're the church of right now and not the future. And I think what we have done, we continue to say that the young people are the church of tomorrow or they're the church of the future, but we need to make them the church of right now. And so we need to start to create mentorships, intergenerational mentorships within the church, so we can start to learn how to pass the torch. You can't hold on to that spot for 30 years. You can't hold on to that spot for the next 20 years. I need to train somebody else that can do it better than me. And we got to embrace that this generation is much smarter than we are. And really, if we would capitalize on that, this generation would really make us look great. They would really grow our churches if that's what we're really focused on is church growth. It would really make us look great if we allow them to. But in that, we have to give them leadership roles. We have to allow them flexibility with their cultural influence. We got to even allow them to make some mistakes, because oftentimes in church, we don't want people to make mistakes. You know, if you're not doing it, you know, I think there's a difference in doing things in the spirit of excellence than putting people down for making mistakes, because how are they going to grow if they don't make mistakes? You got to allow them to make their own mistakes and then allow them to see what their mistakes are and allow them to correct their mistakes. And sometimes what we try to do is give them responsibilities, but we take it back because it's not done the way we want it done. But you got to allow them to lead. And if we want to see our churches go to the next level or become successful, we got to give young people leadership roles now. Let them run youth ministry. You know, I'm 37. There's no reason for me to try to put my influence on youth ministry or young adult ministry. I need to allow them to lead. I can go back and, you know, manage, delegate, but there's no reason for me just to try to put my personality or influence on it. Let them lead, because young people are going to flock to them, not me. You know, it's not because I preach so great. It's not because, you know, I dress so great. But young people attract other young people. So why not give them the influence? And that's the only way our churches are going to grow and go to the next level.
Amen. So I thank you for that. Thank you for that wisdom, because you're right. It is. And so many things you said, excellence, mistakes. And again, I call out every pastor and deacon and elder out there. If you never made a mistake in ministry, you're good. But did you not learn from that mistake? And then when we talk about life, it's the same thing with life. We can cope, we can mentor, we can parent, we can father, we can mother. But once they get out there, they're going to do some things and they're going to make mistakes that they're going to learn from, because we learn from them. Even our most holiest preaching pastors out there, and no, I'm sorry, I'm doing it again. However, there was mistakes along the way, and how can we not allow the next generation to make the same? Like you said, there's a manager. We all, for those of us who have secular day jobs, your manager doesn't do your job for you. He makes it so you can get the job done and just sets the standard before you to meet the mark so the job can accomplish whatever the job is, all the way from, you know, to the IT guy, to the street cleaner, to the construction worker, to the whatever. You know, you manage, and that's when the church we need to manage and not try to make clones, but put a spiritual skill set into this next generation. But they have the basic skills and training, but they're going to do it their way to create what God has ordained them to create the church to be and to be part of and to lead through the time when we're long gone. Amen? Amen. Pastor, we're almost done. I got one more person who wants to share or ask a question. I'm going to bring them in real quick here. Yes, your last four numbers are 8098, and you have about 2 minutes. 8098. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. I'm good.
How you doing, Deacon Farr?
I'm doing good.
This is D. Jenkins. Jesus.
Hey, what's happening, Brother Jenkins?
How you doing?
Amen. How are you, sir? Good evening. What do you want to share, or you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. It was just more or less a comment. I know the focal point is actually the youth and how we can get them into the ministry and everything else. But a lot of things that you in the past have talked about are things that I can relate to being a new Christian and being a part of the world for as long as I was. What I realize every day, because I'm a barber and I'm around a lot of young people every day, is it's very, very hard for them to relate to a person who's been in church for 30 years, who's been in church for 25 plus years. It's hard for them to relate because all they talk about is the Bible. They never talk about being a part of the world. They never talk about sinning. They never talk about not living right. They only talk about what's in the Bible, what they're doing as of right now. So it's hard for them to relate. I impact more youth, me just becoming a new Christian, than I would want to say someone who's been a Christian for 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 15 years, because they can't relate. I could tell them where God has brought me in a short amount of time, where they can sit there and look at me and say, okay, D, I remember you a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. How did you transform into this person overnight? We have to be able to relate to the youth and give them some things so they can sit there and say, okay, I was in this situation before. I can relate. And if this brother or this sister could transform and they could be, you know, trying to live the word and trying to live righteously and trying to do the correct things, then maybe I could do that as well. I just don't think that just because you've been in church for 40, 50 years righteously that you can impact the youth if you can't just get down on their level. Sometimes they need to hear those things. Hello?
Amen, brother. I appreciate your call. I'm here. We heard you. Pastor Thomas, you want to respond to that? Because I have a lot. But go ahead, sir. Pastor Thomas.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think there's just, we need to learn a healthy balance between both. And I think it's, again, making the word come alive to our situations and remember where we have come from. I think some people get turned off by sharing too much about their past, and some people get turned off about just sharing too much Bible. But I think if we can incorporate a healthy balance of both, but also maintaining, again, relevance. And because sometimes young people will say, oh, well, that was years ago. You went through that, or I can't relate to that right now. But I think that's where the listening comes in and the relationalness. You know, I'm making up words, relationalness. Just the relationship that you establish with them. And then that helps sharing conversations to get.
Amen, sir. Don't worry about it. You're a preacher. You can make up words. We're allowed. Amen. But you're right. I just want to share this. What the brother is saying is true, and it's balance, and that's part of being relevant. We have to be able to talk to them where what they're dealing with and let them know that the Word of God is true, the Word of God is relevant to their lives, because the Word of God gives them direction and path and guides them through. Amen. Brother Jenkins, I thank you for calling and sharing that input, and I appreciate you calling in and joining us tonight. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. We encourage you to join us. You can reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can like us there. You can join the group, the special group. If you would like to be a guest on the show and bring a topic to talk about and share or relevant or ask us questions, you can call at any time. Again, you can reach out there. We're also on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. You can follow us there for our daily devotionals and outreaches and upcoming events. Again, Pastor Thomas, thank you so much for joining me, sir. Be blessed, and we will meet. We'll get together real soon because I got a free Friday coming, so I'm looking out. I'm going to coordinate, and we're going to spend a Friday together. Amen?
All right. Sounds great.
Amen. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week. Good night.
Bye-bye.